Good morning, and happy Valentine's Day. Counter to what Rob said, we are going to talk a little bit about martyrdom, but we are not going to talk about the kissy-kissy stuff. So just for fun, St. Valentine was actually a clergyman in the Roman Empire who ministered to persecuted Christians. I had to look all this up. I didn't know where this came from. He was martyred, and his body was buried at a Christian cemetery just north of Rome on, you guessed it, February 14th. St. Valentine was added to the Catholic calendar by Pope Gelasius in 496. Not sure he thought it would lead to the explosion of red, pink, and white cards, balloons, flowers, etc., that start showing up in stores the day after Christmas. All right, so anyway, today in our New Testament reading, Luke introduces us briefly to an interesting pair of sisters, Martha and Mary. They were the sisters of Lazarus. And although they are sisters, their personality types could not be more different. When we are first introduced to them, Martha is very busy taking care of everyone and everything. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening carefully to what he has to say. Now in this age, Martha was fulfilling the traditional role of the woman of the house, and Mary was not. Although it is possible that Mary began the visit by helping her sister and caring for the visitors, and then maybe became curious about something that she heard while she was delivering a plate or refilling a cup. During Jesus' time, women were not traditionally well educated. They were raised to cook and clean and have children and care for families. So here is Martha literally trying to put together a meal fit for a king, and however many of his followers may have been with him on this day, because Jesus never traveled alone. And Martha would not have left anyone out in the cold. And Mary's behavior made Martha very unhappy. And she actually went to Jesus, who was a guest in the house, and complained and asked Jesus to correct Mary's behavior. As we hear, it didn't go so well for her, as Jesus basically tells her that she worries too much about the wrong things and her sister has chosen the better way. Ouch. Can you imagine being corrected by someone who is a guest in your house? Now, we don't know much about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but we get the impression that this may not have been Jesus' first visit to their house. He seemed very familiar. So who were these folks? Why is there no mention in the stories of parents or spouses? Three siblings living together is a very unusual circumstance. We do see these three again, but we'll get to that in just a moment. It is thought that Martha was the eldest and Mary the youngest. Martha was definitely large and in charge and running the household. When we hear again of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in the Gospel of John, interestingly enough, their behavior is described similarly in this book. Now, just to get kind of an idea, a quick refresher, the first gospel was Luke, and he was a physician and possibly a Gentile. He was not one of the original 12 apostles, but may have been one of the 70 disciples appointed by Jesus. So he probably got his accounts either secondhand or by some kind of verbal communication. John, on the other hand, was a disciple, so he would have had firsthand knowledge of Jesus and his doings. So in John, we learn that Lazarus has become ill. The sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Jesus responds by saying, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Huh? He's sick, and his friend is not going to see him? So rather than go to Lazarus, he hung out for two more days and then went to Bethany to check on his friend. He tells his followers that Lazarus has fallen asleep. Maybe a little misunderstanding here. Jesus knows that Lazarus has passed, but also knows that he can bring him back to life. So Jesus and his followers go. And when they get there, Jesus finds that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha hears that Jesus has finally come, and she goes out to meet him. You can imagine how this would have gone after he reprimanded her the last time they were together. So Martha confronts Jesus, basically saying, "You let my brother die." Jesus tries to reassure her, but she goes and gets Mary, who, being Mary, had stayed behind to talk to the mourners and listen and learn some interesting things. But Mary also confronts Jesus. Apparently, maybe Mary's faith had wavered a little bit when Jesus didn't show up. He follows Mary and Martha and the others to the tomb where Lazarus had been laid to rest. When he saw the tomb and how upset everyone was, Jesus wept, showing his love for Lazarus. Then Jesus ordered the tomb opened. And here comes Martha, concerned that after 4 days, there might be a little bit of a smell coming out of that tomb. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb, and here comes Lazarus, and he has to unwrap himself. And a big miracle. I mean, nothing bigger. We see Martha and Mary one more time, 6 days before the Passover. Again, here comes Jesus and his band of followers to the home of Martha and Mary and the recently revived Lazarus. Again, true to form, Martha served and tried to make everything nice for everyone, while Mary took a pint of pure nard and poured it over Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the scent of the perfume. The story ends with Judas complaining that as expensive as the oil was, it could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Jesus corrects him by saying, "Leave her alone. That oil was intended that she should perfume my feet for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Now, being curious as I am, I had to look up what nard was. It's also known as spikenard, an essential oil with what is described as an earthy, musky scent. Spikenard is a derivative of the valerian plant and may be used to treat anxiety, depression, insomnia, and stress. Interesting that Jesus knows he's going to die, and here she is pouring oil on his feet that can help with anxiety and not sleeping. Now, diving further down the rabbit hole, I was wondering just how expensive spikenard oil was. So, I went to the wonderful world of Amazon. Pure spikenard oil can cost up to $205 per ounce. So with 16 ounces in a pint, that would have been $3,280. Even by today's standards, Judas may have been correct that this money could have made a difference to the poor. But it was being used for a much greater purpose. So what does love have to do with any of this? Let's first look at the definition of love. Love encompasses a range of strong and positive emotional and mental states, from the most sublime virtue or good habit, the deepest interpersonal affection, to the simplest pleasure. A great interest or pleasure in something. You could say you love to read or you love to do puzzles. Love is associated with the heart, and the heart is linked to our strongest emotions. Love is displayed in so many ways in these stories. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus sharing life together is love of family. The girls have a difference of opinion on how things get done, but they're sisters, so that is not all that unusual. Martha shows her love by making sure that everyone is fed and comfortable and welcome in her home. Mary shows love by listening, talking, learning. Lazarus was referred to as a friend of Jesus, and Lazarus shows love by opening his home and providing a safe space for Jesus and the disciples. Martha showed love and respect for Jesus, almost treating him like a father figure, by asking him to resolve her issues with Mary. And although she did not care for the answer, did we always agree with our parents and what they told us when we asked for an opinion? Even Judas was attempting to show love by suggesting the money could have been used to help the poor. So let me ask a question. Is it possible to be a Mary in this very Martha world we live in? A world where even in a pandemic, we have found so many ways to stay busy and even preoccupied. A world where people have taken up pandemic hobbies so they can stay busy. I know we miss spending time with family and friends. Trust me, I know. But maybe there are other ways that we can and have shared love in a world consumed by pandemic issues. So how did you answer our opening question that was on the Facebook page? What does love or service look like in a world with a pandemic going on? I'm going to throw out a few ideas. Read, listen, learn without multitasking. Put the phone in one room, take a book or what have you, and go and find a quiet space. Dive into a book. Treat yourself to some quiet time. Take a walk or an exercise class, in person or online. Two ways to show love there: love of self, love of a local or small business that you can support by taking an online class. Pick up the phone to check in on someone you haven't heard from in a while. I recently saw a challenge that said we should reach out to at least 5 persons per week just to check in and see how they're doing, whether that be phone, text, email. Write a letter. Remember letters? How much fun it is to get something in the mail that is not a bill or another reminder about our car's extended service warranty. Make a meal or drop off groceries to someone who either can't or won't leave their home. While you're there, it might be an opportunity for a porch visit. Again, just connecting. Share something you love with others. We've seen that a lot, I think. There are wonderfully gifted people right here. I'm in a room filled with gifted people right now, and it is just... And we've shared crafts, music, drama, photography, etc. with others through the magic of technology. I know I've enjoyed so much experiencing the talents of others. And then volunteer. There are volunteer opportunities that are COVID safe. Mid-Ohio Food Bank is one of them. The community garden that we're growing right outside of our building. Making donations to GRIN or so many other organizations. I'm sure that I'm only scratching the surface with this list. And Martha, you don't have to do it all. So wrapping up, I would encourage all of us to first be Mary. Practice some love of self and some self-care, because you cannot pour from an empty vessel. Then turn on your inner Martha and spread that love and compassion as far as you feel comfortable. Stay safe, everybody.